First Samuel chapter number 30, and beginning in verse number 1. And the Bible said, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. They had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abithai, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abithai brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fail, recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where they were that left behind stayed. Now skip down, if you would please, to verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered, now notice in verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all, and David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I want to preach to you on the thought this morning, beloved, give me back what belongs to me. Give me back what belongs unto me. Let's pray together, every head bowed, every eye closed. And right now, would you pray that the Holy Ghost of God would move across this service, and for all is vain unless he takes over. Now pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you today for the privilege of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can read it and digest it. It is food unto our palate. Lord, it's water for a dry, thirsty man. Now I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd bless in the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray for thy servant today. Lord Jesus, I ask that the blood of the Lord Jesus be applied round and about. Lord, forgive us where we failed thee and come short. Lord, I pray that you'd move across this congregation. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God walk up and down, in and out these pews. May you find logic in the hearts and the people. And Father, whatever is done, whatever is accomplished, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for we ask it in the lovely name, that name above every name, the Lord Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Hold your Bible. Bible open, if you would please. We find in the reading of God's Word this morning the story of David and his men as they had gone out to fight the enemy. If you read your Bible, you'll find in the preceding chapters, David had left Ziklag, his home. He left his wives and children. Everything that David left, he left behind. Everything he owned, he left behind and went out to do a battle with the enemy. While he was gone, all of a sudden his men, they began to make their way back home, and they were coming down the road. Now, I believe I could see in my mind that as David and his 600 men got closer and closer to Ziklag, I believe in the distance they saw some black smoke billowing up. Maybe one of the men said, "I wonder where that's coming from. Maybe somebody's clearing some land. Maybe somebody's got some trash that they're burning. Maybe they're burning some wood. I don't know." But the closer they got to Ziklag, the smoke began to intensify. They began to see the billowing of the smoke rising over the horizon. And then, my friend, as they made that last turn, headed down into their city of Ziklag, they saw, to their amazement, their hearts sank within them. They saw all their homes burned to the ground. They saw everything they had worked for gone. They looked around. There was not a living soul. All the women was gone. All the children were gone. All the flocks, all the herds were gone. My friend, everything they had put stock in was gone. Now, I tell you one thing, friend, when you read the Bible, I'll tell you this. Oftentimes we think, when we, as children of the King, we ought to have a bed of roses. My friend, may I say that as Job said in Job chapter 14, verse number 1, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. My friend, you can expect trouble along the journey. But here David and his men, they sat down, and the first reaction, the Bible said, look in verse number 4, they began to cry. And that's a natural expression. When you've lost something of great value, you lose a friend, a loved one. When you lose a material blessing, all of a sudden they cried and they wept till they could not weep any longer. I don't know how, but I can imagine when I was a child, and you may have heard it, my parents used to say they got the dry snubbies. You know what I mean? How many of you know what the snubbies are? Raise your hand. Anybody? I'm not going to call on you, but you know what the snubbies, I mean, that means that when you've cried till you can't cry no more, and you just a weeping and you're crying, but there's no tears are coming out. But now notice, my friend, here, then what happened was, the men, and that was left in verse number 6, they said, David, you're the cause for our problems. You're the cause for our loss. And they began to look around and lift up a stone. They said, let's kill him, fellas. He's the blame. But my friend, they talked of stoning David. But now notice something in verse number 6. And friend, when all the friends run out on you, when there's nobody else to turn to, when there's nobody else in the hospital room, when there's nobody else in the funeral home, when there's nobody else you can turn to, thank God, there's one in heaven you can turn to. And the Bible said, look there in verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. My friend, may I tell you something? I sleep beside my telephone. I carry it with me 24/7. If you need me, call me. But I'm glad to tell you, there's one that when you call, he'll always answer. There's one that'll never have a drop call. Say amen. There's one, my friend, regardless of your need. And the Lord will encourage you in the hour of need. Amen. regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what the doctors say, regardless of what happens, thank God you can be encouraged in the Lord, your God. But now notice what happened. The first thing that he did, look in verse number 7. This is introduction. We'll get to the message. Give me back what belongs to me. I want you to see something here. And David, notice in verse 7, he went to the priest and he said, bring the ephod. Now, you may not know what an ephod is, and let me try to describe it to you. An ephod was worn by the priest. And in that ephod, they tell me, the Old Testament priest, it had little pockets. It was a vest, had little pockets. And they put in those little pockets a different stone. It might be a beryl, amethyst, or ruby, or whatever it might be, a different stone. And the priest would take that stone out, and that stone would represent one of the tribes of Israel. And the priest would pray for the tribe. As he prayed, he'd hold that stone in his hand, put it back in that little pocket, and grab another. Today, we've got a prayer list. Wednesday night, we have a prayer list. You want us to pray for you? You put your name, we'll pray for you. Amen. We have a prayer list. It was like having an Old Testament prayer list, but it was a vest. And David said, bring me the ephod. He said, I'm not going to do anything until, first of all, we pray about it. And friend, can I tell you something? The problem we get into in our churches, in our homes, in our businesses, is that we need to get back to praying and seeking God, going before a holy and a righteous God, obtaining grace and mercy at the throne before we do anything. Pray about it. Amen. Our problem is that we want to do it and then pray about it. We pray God bless our mess. Amen. Hello, y'all with me today? Just say amen one time, won't hurt you. One more time, just so I know that you're living, say amen. Thank you. We'll do something, then we'll turn around and say, God bless our mess. Just, Lord, would you bless? I've already messed up, but would you bless it? Friend, wouldn't it be great if we'd pray ahead of time and say, Lord God, lead me, direct me, prepare my way ahead of me. Help me not to make a decision out of the will of God. Help me not to be led by my flesh, but be led of the Spirit. Lord God, help me just to be led and walk with you. And David said, I've got to pray about what we're to do. Lord, you want us to stay still, or Lord, you want us to go. And the Bible said, God said, go. And he said, go after them. I like that. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, if it was cowboy and Indian days, I believe he'd say, saddle the horses up and get the posse. We're going after them. Amen. Y'all like them old Western shows? Praise God. I mean, glory to God, them old shows, they used to kiss the horse. Amen. I mean, son, they'd say, get the posse together and go get the horses together. We're going after them. They done come down here, that old Bart gang or whatever it is, a Black Bart. We're going after them. We're not going to let them do the things they've done. There's a justice a-coming. And friend, can I tell you something? You and I, as God's people today, may I remind you that the enemy is after you. He has come to seek and to kill and to destroy. I'm talking about old Slewfoot. I'm talking about the devil. The Bible said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come they might have life and they might have it abundantly. My friend, can I remind you something? The devil is not your friend. He is not your buddy. The devil is your enemy, and he's after you to steal and destroy and rob. But it's time, as the people of God, rise up and say, give me back what belongs to me. It don't belong to you. It's none of yours. In the time I got, I'm going to give you five things. Write them down. The five things the devil wants to rob you of this morning. I'm talking about, sir, you. Ma'am, I'm talking about you. Sister, I'm talking about you. These are five things the devil wants to rob you of. Number one, they'll start with the letter F. He, number one, he wants to rob you of your first love. Revelation 2 verse 4 says this, "Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." This was a letter written to the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus, you find in the Word of God, as Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, the same group of people here. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul talked about how good a church there was and how wonderful they loved God. It was a church known for love. It was a church known as a growing church. It was known as a going church. But then you come to the book of Revelation, and here the Bible tells us that under the inspiration of God through the divine writing of John, he said that thou hast loved. Left thy first love. You left it. Oh, how could a church that it was on fire for God, a church that was going for God, a group of folks that love God, all of a sudden he said, "I got something against you. You've left your first love." Now let me explain something to you. There's a difference in losing and leaving. Amen? How many of you have ever lost something? Raise your hand. I'm talking about car keys, wallet, whatever. Now I have, Sister Gail, I have lost some things in my day, but here lately, I know y'all don't have these things. They're called senior moments. Hello. Brother Don Harrell says they've turned from senior moments into senior episodes. My son's sitting here this morning. I have forgotten many things. One thing I've done twice is left the tailgate down on my truck, and I had a bunch of tools in the back of it. Praise God. I don't know where they ended up. They're down, scattered down the road. I said, "Well, I'll get me some more tools, put them," and praise God, I did it the second time. Now listen to me. I can lose my car keys, and that's different. But if I were to take and lay them right there on that table and walk away, them car keys are going to stay on that table unless somebody comes up and gets them. What am I saying? I left them on the table. There's a difference when I lose something, I don't know where it is. If I leave it, if I scratch my head long enough, I'll remember. Oh yeah, I left it. Honey, I got news for you. Where did you lose your first, where did you leave your first love? Was it just you left it somewhere down the road? Did you leave it at a ball game somewhere? Did you leave it down the road? So my friend, what I'm saying to you is that you and I, as God's people, the devil wants to steal your first love. How many of y'all remember the day you got saved? Say amen. You remember, oh, listen, the day you got saved, I mean, praise God, you was excited about it. You couldn't wait to get to the house of God. You couldn't wait to tell somebody. You picked the phone up and you got in that book and you began to read it. And you, oh, boy, that's good. Good as banana pudding. But then all of a sudden, well, things start creeping in. Oh, I got bills to pay. I got a job to go to. I got school work to get done. And all of a sudden, you know what we do? We leave our first love. We leave it somewhere. My friend, you say, what does that mean, preacher, when you leave your first love? It's like Israel. God warned Israel, when you're in the wilderness, you'll need me day in and day out. You'll need the manna. You'll need the bread. You'll need the quail. You'll need the water. But watch it, when you get into the land of promise, he said, you won't need me like you used to need me. Hello? Talk to me. He said, when you come into the land of promise, beware that thou forget the Lord thy God. And that's exactly what Israel did. While they was in the wilderness, they said, oh God, we need a drink from heaven. And God brought them water. They said, oh God, we need some quail. And God brought them the quail. They said, oh God, we need some bread. And God brought them the bread. But when they got into the promised land, guess what? Oh, we can grow our own bread now. We can kill our own birds now. We can go get our own water now. We don't need God. Hello. And honey, can I tell you something? The church of the living God today is blind and poor and bankrupt and don't even know it. My friend, the enemy has come in when we've been asleep. He snuck in unawares. He has stolen from us. It's time as we as God's people say, "Hey, devil, it don't belong to you. I'm going to get my first love back. I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy this thing, this journey that leads me from earth to glory. Thank God, I want to have a little juice along the way." And he left. He'll steal your first love. Number two, write them down for me. The Lord gave them to me, I'll give them to you. Number two, he'll try to steal your fruit. He'll try to steal your fruit. What do you mean by that, preacher? Psalm 127, verse number 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Parents, some of you are sitting here this morning, and you've got children that's not in the house of God. You've got children that's lost without God. Can I tell you something? God didn't give you them children for them to go to hell. Say amen. Oh, children are a heritage of the Lord. And parents and grandparents. Some of you, grandparents, your kids aren't in church. Your grandchildren are not in church. You've allowed the enemy to come in and take them captive. You've allowed the enemy to come in and steal them. My friend, it's time to rise up and do something about it. I'm tired of everybody rolling down and just saying, "Oh me, woe is me." Honey, we need to charge the gates of hell and say, "Devil, they don't belong to you. God gave them to me, and I'm taking them back." Who'll stand in the gap for them? Amen. Listen. Don't depend on the preacher. Don't depend on the deacons. We'll do our part. But every mama and every daddy in here, you ought to begin on this altar and say, "Oh God, maybe my children only this high. God, I pray you plant a hedge of thorns round about them. God, that you protect them. Devil, you have no claim to them. They are mine. God's given them to me. Get your stinking hands off my kids." Amen. That's good preaching, Anna. He'll steal your children, your fruit. Listen, my friend, it's time. David said we could water in our despair. We could just say, "Oh, woe is me," and we could just let our wives and children go off down yonder, and the enemy come in and took them captive. The Amalekites, they took them captive, and David could have said, "Oh, I wonder where my kids are." But David said, "No, we're going to do something about it. We're going to rise up. We're going to go after them scoundrels. We're going to go after them, and we're going to have a rescue party. We're going to redeem them back." Amen. What we need to do today. Would to God, every mom and daddy, every grandparent, if your children aren't serving God, you get on this altar and you'll say, "I'll stand in their place. I'll pray for them. I'll lift them up. Lord Jesus, give me back my children." Number three, your faith. Your faith. Satan is a master of making you doubt. You know, isn't it amazing? We're just like the New Testament Christian. You remember when old Peter's locked up in jail? Hey, you remember when Peter's locked up in jail and the church is down yonder praying for Peter? How many of y'all remember that story? Amen? Well, let me tell you real quick for those of you who don't remember. They was praying for Peter and they was praying he'd get out of jail. And guess what? God got him out of jail and he come knocked on the door. There's a prayer meeting going on. And they said to the little girl, said, "Run, see who's at the door." And she went to the door and come back and said, "It's Peter." They said, "Oh, come on, quit pulling our leg. We're praying for Peter. He's down yonder in the jail." Hey, doesn't it surprise us when God answers our prayer? Amen. Oh, listen, you might think I'm a lunatic. You might think I'm a nut. But praise God, I see a black baby grand piano sitting over yonder in the corner. You say, "That's just, oh, preacher, do you really?" I believe it. Amen. And thank God by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And Satan will try to steal your faith. I mean, son, he'll come in this crowd. And listen, you need to guard. We need to guard our children. Listen, school's getting ready to start back. Would you listen to me for a second? Mamas and daddies and grandparents, would you listen to me? When you get into school, I mean, listen, son, they'll try to destroy your child's faith. They'll try to tell them they come from a monkey somewhere. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to say, listen, you believe we come from a monkey? I want to load up our bus. Let's take it down yonder to the Ashburn Zoo. And let's go to the monkey cage. And let's watch them little chimpanzees play and give them banana. And then 1 year later, Let's load the bus up. Let's go back yonder to Ashburn Zoo. And we'd find not a cage of monkeys, but a cage of little boys. Come on. But you see, honey, down in our schoolhouse, they'll try to tell our children they come from a lower form of a species, that one day they swimming around somewhere in the ocean and they sprouted legs, they walked upright, and they, for millions of years, they tried to carve their existence out. Honey, I got news for you. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. I just want to believe what God said, that He created man in the image of God, amen. Breathed in him the breath of life. Man became a living soul. They'll shake up your kids' faith. Amen. They'll try to destroy your faith. In this old world we live in today, some folk are trying to pull the hair out. They're worried about what November's going to hold. They wonder what kind of president we're going to have. Honey, I got news for you. Thank God He's got it all under control. I have not shaken my faith at the cause of this country or the world. It's all a running on schedule. I'm going to get out and vote. Amen. I heard Brother Gray Savage, he preached Friday night. Brother Gray's down yonder from the City of Refuge. He told everybody, said, when y'all go vote, he said, go ahead and vote. Vote two or three times if you can. Amen. He said he wrote it in the primary. I'll tell you this and move on. He said, I went to vote in the primaries. And if you know, he's tall. And he's kind of a little dark complected a little bit. He got up and they said, and your name, sir? He said, Attorney General Eric Holder. What was your name again, sir? Attorney General Eric Holder. And the woman was looking through the book trying to find his name. Y'all know who Attorney General Eric Holder is, right? Amen. Hopefully you do. But that lady looked at him and said, you're not him, are you? Hey, listen, he said, it don't matter who they believe you are. Listen, I mean, look, he said, just get out and vote, amen. And honey, listen, November's not going to upset me, but I got news for you. My faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And devil, get away. You have no claim to that. He will not rob me of my faith. Number three. Number four, your finances. Oh, yeah. Son, you might hear the tires are squalling and the rubber start smoking right here. But hang on with me. Some have allowed the devil to rob them of their finances. Some have placed their money in bags with holes in it. Some folks have tried to lay up on this earth treasures so that in the day that they need it, they'll have a little nest egg. Can I tell you something? My Bible says, lay not for yourselves treasures upon this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? Heaven. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. And friend, the devil has robbed you. The Bible said, Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. How? When you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Honey, I got news for you. If you're not giving to the Lord, you've allowed the devil to deceive you into thinking it's your money. Can I tell you something? God owns it all. Amen. Amen. He only lets us use a little of it to meet our needs. But there'll be some that'll stick God's money in their pocket and walk out. My friend, can I tell you, you're only hurting yourself. The Bible said that if you give and give unto the Lord, He would meet your need. Amen. Y'all believe that? Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, withal shall be measured to you again. How many of you like good, fresh tomato sandwiches? Amen. Praise God. Brother Goldie brought me some tomatoes Wednesday night. And Brawley was standing there. And Brawley said something. I said, well, you ain't brought me no tomatoes. I said, Goldie loves me. He brings me tomatoes. Guess what? Brawley brought me some tomatoes today. Amen. But I would not want to go out and these fellas that plant these 100 hills of tomatoes, Would you, Sister Gail, want to go out with a little bitty old, just a little bitty old bucket about this size and say, I'm going to get me some tomatoes today. One, two, three. That's all. That's all. You know what? If I'm getting tomatoes or beans, I want a bushel basket. Say amen. And you know why? Because the more I can get in there, the more it's going to help me out. And I've been helping out real good here lately. Hey. But honey, I got news for you. God says this. Now watch this. I want you to turn there. And I'm about done. Just hang on. Listen, I'll buy you lunch if I have to. Now listen. I didn't say what it'd be. Might be a 59-cent hamburger, but amen. Turn with me. Look at Malachi 3:10. You can't find Malachi. Find the New Testament. And where New Testament, Old Testament divide, right there, Malachi 3:10. And at least write it down if you can't. Listen to me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now watch. Prove me. Prove me, God says. I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. How many of you want a blessing from God? Would you lift your hand? You want God to bless you. I mean, listen, you want God to bless your family. You want God to bless your business. You want God to bless your family. God said, listen, he, my friend, he's the greatest double dog dairy there is in all time. How many of you ever was in school and they'd come up to you and they say, I dare you. I dare you to, I don't know, hit me. And then you'd grab back and say, I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. Well, honey, God's the greatest double dog, triple dog dare you there is. He said right there in that book, how many of you believe that book? Amen? Malachi 3:10, he said, prove me. Brother, he said, prove me. Put me to the test. See if I don't honor my word. See if I don't live up to what... Listen, friend, some of you sitting here this morning, you need to just do a double offering. Praise God. I don't know, but maybe some of you need to do some catch-up offering. I mean, listen, honey, you might say, preacher, oh, man alive, I can pay for that piano right now. Glory to God. Go ahead and write the check, honey, and see what God will do for you. Boy, she got quiet. You see, the same God that gave is the same God that can take. Hello? If God has blessed you, and he has, friend, listen, there's not a soul in this room. You may not have everything you want. You may not have everything you need. But I guarantee you one thing. God has blessed you. He said, prove me. You don't see, if you don't think I'm a man of my word, he said, you prove me, and I'll bless you. Last of all, and I'm done. What's the devil want to rob from you? He'll try to rob your family, your faith, and last of all, your family. He'll try to rob your family. Do you realize today the devil wants to destroy your sacred institution of marriage? Thank God, back yonder, Sister Jessup and Brother Lynn, I walked back yonder earlier and I leaned over and I said, y'all don't mind me share this, if you do just speak up, but I walked over and I said, Brother Lynn, are you still treating her like a queen? He said, I sure am, but I got a different opinion from her. Is that right? 63 years of marriage. I guarantee if you were to talk to him, it's not all been roses all the time. There's been some thorns and thistles. But do you realize today, Brother Frank, do you realize today that the devil wants to destroy y'all's marriage? Do you realize today, Craig, the devil wants to destroy your and Sandy's marriage? The devil wants to destroy my and my wife's marriage. There's not a person in this room this morning that he's not after your family. I saw last night, I read the article, and I won't go into names, but a well-known preacher. And friend, it's happening just like this. It's happening. Now listen, I use this illustration. I like to catch fish. I like to catch any size fish, but I sure do like to catch some big fish. Amen. You know what? If the devil was to destroy my marriage, guess what? It's going to trickle down. You're a target.
I read last night of a well-known preacher, big mega church, I mean big mega church, outside of Chicago, admitted having sexual relations with a teenager in the church. He left his cell phone. And friend, can I tell you something? Your sin will find you out. He left his cell phone on the pulpit. And one of the deacons picked it up to give it back to their preacher. Looked down and there was a message from one of the teenage girls, and had him and her kissing on a picture, and sent that to him while church service was going on. Can I tell you something? The devil is seek who he can destroy. Thank God. Listen, Brother James and Teresa, they celebrate 40 years of marriage. He said this morning he's been 40 years in the wilderness. Now he's finally going to get out and get in the promised land. Amen. We sang to Teresa this morning, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I'm sure it's been some ups and downs. But honey, can I tell you something? The devil wants to destroy. Because here it is in a nutshell. As the home goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the nation. You want to help this nation? You help your church? Friend, let me tell you something. You look at old devil when he comes. You may not be the best looking thing on the planet, but I guarantee you one thing. The devil will have somebody out there that'll think you look like Rock Hudson or Liz Taylor. Can I have an amen on that one? He'll have somebody in your path. He wants to destroy your family. Fred, I got news for him. Get thee behind me, Satan. I want what belongs to me. He'll not rob me. Thank God. Listen, I'm anchored in the faith of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell him this morning, devil, get your stinking hands off my children. They belong to me. God gave them to me. Some of you grandparents need to say, God help us. We'll stand in the gap for our children, our grandchildren, our kids going back to school. We'll stand and fight the devil. Friend, listen, it's time we took a stand and let him know, hey, you're dealing with the wrong crowd today, honey. We're on the winning side. Give me back what belongs to me. Would you bow your head? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sister Joanne, come real quickly to the piano. Message spoke for itself today. Please don't leave unless you absolutely need to, have to. I understand somebody may have to. But my friend, please, just in 5 minutes, give us 5 minutes. The devil has robbed you this morning. I didn't get to everything. But I believe this, the devil has robbed some of you of your health. I believe that. I believe you need to just say, by faith, James chapter 5 says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Some of you here today need to say, devil, the Bible said I put none of these diseases upon you, and I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them preachers that believes in prayer healing lines and stuff. I do believe in healing. I believe that God is the author of healing. Amen. But the devil has robbed you. The devil has robbed you of your peace and your joy and your happiness. He's robbed you this morning. He's robbed you of your finances. Some of you just struggling, try to make ends meet. You don't understand why. I got news for you. Friend, if you'll give to the Lord, you'll honor the Lord. He'll meet every need you've got. I guarantee you he'll do it. He'll show himself strong. But as long as your faith is lacking and your family is lacking and your finances, the devil's, he's sitting back and he's laughing. He's got you where he wants you. How many of you this morning say, preacher, that message really spoke to me. God pricked my heart today somehow, some means, some way. God has touched my heart in that message today. I know it. He's dealing with me right now. I feel his presence. Slip a hand up. Would you please roll this? Thank you. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, yes, sir. Devil, I got news for you. Give me back what belongs to me. Give me back. I'm tired of him robbing our churches. I'm tired of him robbing our homes, robbing our families, robbing our children. Friend, it's time we as God's people rise up and say, hey, he'll not have another one.
If I can do anything, I'll stand in the gap. I'll make up the hedge. He'll not have another one of my children. He'll not have another one of my children from Harmony Baptist Church. These little ones will start back to school. He'll not have one of them. They'll be anchored in the faith. He'll not have another one. No, sir. No, sir. He'll not. How many of you today, you've got a child out of church, unsaved, lost? Raise your hand, would you? Across this room, amen. God bless your heart. God bless you. We're going to pray for you. I believe this, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. God's at work, my friends. Allow him to work in your life. Let's stand our feet. Heavenly Father, everyone standing, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the liberty. Lord Jesus, thank you for the message. Lord Jesus, these folk don't. Lord Jesus, they don't realize sometimes, Lord. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, just allowing me to stand one more time, preach your word. And Lord, it's not about me. Lord, it's all about you. I pray, Lord Jesus, take hold right now. Holy Ghost of God, move upon this service. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Sing a stanza, little chorus. There's room. And make your way down this old-fashioned altar. If you want me to pray with you, I'll turn this microphone off. They don't need to hear what you want to tell me. But my friend, if you want to talk to me, I'll be glad to talk to you. I'll pray with you. Well, let's fight the devil. Let's just not roll over and play dead. Let's rise up. Every parent in this room ought to get on this altar and say, oh God, plant my faith firmly and don't let the devil have my children. As we sing, obey the Lord today. There's room at the cross. Come on right now. Come on right now. Right now. For you, there's room right here. Do business with God. Devil's robbed and stole from you. It don't belong to him. God has blessed you. God has used you. God has given you abundantly. Why don't you claim it? Why don't you say, devil, get thee behind me, Satan. You'll not have another one right now. Sing that chorus again from your heart. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.